earth, set up his kingdom, set up his church, then he ascended to heaven, and he left his ministry with us, each one of us, who have called upon the name of the Lord. Just think, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Son of God, left in our hands his ministry. Come with he trusts in us. Now, he didn't leave us to do it on our own. We could never do it on our own. He left in our hands, but gave us the Holy Spirit. And just, I'm going to touch on this a second. We step into, I can't say the main part of the message, because the whole thing is the message. So. But in Mark, and we touched base there a couple of weeks ago, Mark, the 16th chapter, I just want to address one more time what the church is. What the church has been empowered to do. I know sometimes we think the church is empowered to fry chicken every Sunday and have mashed potatoes and hot rolls, and we all kind of like that, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not against chicken, don't get me wrong. But boy, I tell you what, the Master was speaking to us, documented 2,000 years ago. It says in verse 14 of chapter 16 of Mark, after he appeared to the 11 themselves, they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelief shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And I just want to remind you today, folks, that is the church. That is the church. That is what Jesus Christ established here, okay? He did not establish a country club. He didn't establish a place, a bed and breakfast somewhere. That's what he established. Why did he establish that? Because that's what we need in order to defeat the enemy, amen? You are not defeated yet. Your children aren't defeated yet. Your children's children are not defeated yet. As we stand up for the Word of God and believe in the Word of God and speak the Word of God. Well, I tell you, but he says here, because they had not believed those who have seen after. Now, many of us sitting here today maybe don't believe this. Maybe don't believe. Wait. You're talking about casting out demons. And come on, that's kind of scary. Folks, that's where the battle's at. That fight's right up in here right now. It's in your head. It's in the head of your children, your grandchildren. That's where the battle takes place. It's a spiritual warfare that we're battling. He said, you'll cast out the demons. Speak with new tongues. Wait. Don't start talking about talking in tongues. Folks, I'm just telling you, I'm just asking you to get involved in this, okay? If you don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean you're not saved. Understand that. The Holy Spirit praying through you, speaking through you, will give you a prayer language. We should seek that, okay? But if you don't have that, don't think that you're not born again. But seek after the greater things of the Lord. We want that. That's where the power is at. You're a handle of serpents. And no, we don't pass snakes around this church. I kill snakes. I don't like snakes, okay? But what he's saying, I believe also is, well, we saw Paul, where he got bit by a snake on the island of Malta, okay? He shook it off. But he's talking about serpents, also people. You're going to handle them. They're going to try to bite you. They're going to try to sting you. They're going to try to kill you. And you stand on the Word of God, they're not going to touch you. You're going to survive that. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what he says. Those who believe. And the minute that takes place, someone prayed for us. Who comes in your head and starts taking away from you? The devil. The devil is a liar. Understand? He is a liar. He is a liar. He's a father of lies. And he's always playing around in here. You ain't going to make it. You're not going to make it. No, you're not. That's what the devil always tells you. He always speaks in opposite of the Word of God. So when you hear that Word of God, and you understand that Word of God, here comes this voice saying, oh, it's not going to work for you, Starkey. That's not God speaking to you. That's the devil. He's trying to get you to start doubting. The minute we start doubting, he starts putting that little rope back around you, starting to tie you up again. He's going to try to shut you down. Here comes Mr. Depression then. Oppression's coming. And then all other things are coming. Thoughts of suicide. Thoughts of all kinds of stuff. We have to recognize that enemy. Recognize that's how he works. And if you're born again, this stuff is happening to you. There's nothing wrong with you. He's coming after you. Don't think you're not born again. Now, if he's still part of the devil's court, he won't mess with you too much. He's already got you. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And he'll come after you if you're standing in the way of other people. If you're in a seat and praying for people, trying to get people delivered, and the devil don't want to lose those folks he's already got, he'll be coming after you everything he has. But who's greater than Jesus Christ? What's greater than the blood of Christ? See, we got to make sure that we are patient. Everybody love that word? Patient. We live in a culture where we want everything right now. I mean, it used to be on Sunday, you go home and cook dinner, took you 90 minutes, right? Some of you guys going through the drive-thru a little bit, me blowing the horn, the guy in front of the guy you rode, you're hungry, okay? Being patient, trusting the Word of God, speaking the Word of God out and standing on it, no matter how ugly it gets, no matter how bad it looks, when you start praying for something and the world starts getting worse and worse, continue to pray. I'm telling you what, you're making a difference. You're making a difference. What the devil wants you to do, have you sit down and shut up and never speak another word. Praying with somebody and they're getting worse. Did you ever that happen? You think, man, what's going on? I'm telling you what, the devil don't want to give up. If he can stop your prayers and get you to just, oh, it ain't going to work. It's done. So you got to recognize the enemy. Believe the Word of God. And continue to pray. And when you see something terrible going on, my God's going to change that. I ain't giving up. I'm not stopping. Everyone out there, he's got a plan and purpose for. And what's stopping that plan and purpose taking place? Devil, lies. Can never, ever give up. If you believe the Word of God, and if you believe what He said is true, and what He has given you, then you stand on that. Let's pop into Jeremiah for a second. Jeremiah. Somebody said bullfrog, right? We always do. Every time I just go to Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He's a good friend of mine. But we can speak the Word of God and enjoy it at the same time, right? But I want to speak this out because when we go back and continue the day, is the spoken Word of God, demonic warfare that's going on. And some of us and some of our friends and relatives, kids and stuff are wrapped up to it big time and your heart is breaking. It's like, ah! But I'm telling you what. God has got a promise. When you find something in the Word of God, you stand on that and you speak it out. You claim it is true. We'll go back to they overcome the devil by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So you find the Word of God and you testify what it says with the blood of Jesus Christ and you speak it out. That is the weapon that you use. Understand that. That's the weapon that you use. We don't grab a two before a ball bat, even though you might want to feel like you want to do it sometimes. We stand and we speak the Word of God in prayer. We pray and we fast. That's how we fight this battle. We cannot give it up. We cannot give it up. He wants you to lay down. He wants you to shut up. He wants you to roll over, the devil does. But I'm telling you what. I said every week, the greatest moments of the church is about ready to take place ever in history. And you're going to see the mighty hand of God. And you're going to watch the devil go, wow. That takes place. Do not become arrogant. Do not become boastful. Just declare, that's the hand of my God that has delivered us this day. And He is not done with America yet. He is not done with the United States. He hasn't thrown us off. And we continue to stand and intercede for this country. He is not done yet. But He says in Jeremiah 31st chapter, verse 7, I read out of the New American Standard. Your version might be a little bit different. But it says, thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I am bringing them from the north country, and I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and she who is in labor with child together. A great company they will return here. With weeping they will come, and by supplications I will lead them. I will make them to walk by streams of waters, on a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and we are grafted in, folks. And Ephraim is my firstborn. And keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of him who is stronger than he. They will come and shout with joy on the height of Zion. They will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord. Over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a watered garden. They will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young man and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Then we stop there, and we celebrate, and we have an awesome time. We can have a picnic, we can have all type of fun, amen? But deep down in your heart, it could be breaking because of that gathering at that time, your family picnic. You got ones that are not there. They're out. They're taken down by the devil. They're wrapped up. The enemy's got a hold of them. Well, verse 15, thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. Now that's a word you can stand on. Understand that? That's a word that you can stand on when the enemy says, over with, your kids are never coming back, your kids are too far gone, your grandkids, or whoever you want to speak about. That is a promise. You stand upon that. You're drafted in. This is part of your inheritance. And you declare that, you speak that, my kids are coming back. My kids are coming back to their own territory. Hey, they might have been deceived, the devil might have them for a while, but they are my inheritance. I have a good inheritance. And the devil, you get your hands off my inheritance. They're mine. They're mine, sanctified. I cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in Psalms 91 that the angels will protect me, and I'm telling you right now that me and my household, no plague, no enemy will take over, and your children are part of your household, amen? I don't care if they're 50 years old, they're still part of your household. You have the authority to speak His word out, to stand on that word and declare that. Intercede for your children. That's what's called spiritual warfare. It ain't over with yet. You just grew in more and more. You're staying more and more on the Word of God. And not back up, but don't give up. Okay, where are your kids at today? What they're doing, or anyone. I say kids, but your grandkids, nieces, anyone's heavy on your heart. The Word of God is true. And we look at this world today, you might want to say, well, depending on what you're watching, I guess, like what's going on. But I tell you what, I watch on television, the news, I watch the stuff coming through where the move of God is taking place. I'm watching California catch on fire for the Lord. I'm watching revivals taking place. Now, the enemy is going to show you all this bad stuff. Hey, it's all over with, man. It's all over with. But I'm telling you what, it ain't over with yet. I'm telling you, the Bible says that the riches of the enemy or the evil will be stored up for the righteous. What the devil meant for evil, God will use it for good. So don't think that it's over with yet. It's not. In the book of Joshua, it's chapter 6. Little town called Jericho. Anybody remember? I always come back from Sunday school. But Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. What's that? You humming it back here? Yeah. And I'll tell you up front here, if you're visiting here today, that I do not care about political correctness. Understand that the truth is the truth. I bring it out if it offends you. When I apologize, I actually don't leave until after the service because it might make sense to you, okay? But I'm telling you what, when I fight an enemy, he's my enemy, and I don't sugarcoat it, I don't paint it, I speak the way it is. That's how deliverance comes. We're gonna put lipsticks on a pig, you know what I'm saying? You try to call it something else, it's still a pig, but somebody might get bit by that pig. Amen? When Joshua says, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Whoa! It says, now Washington, D.C. was tightly shut up because of the saints. Listen to me a second, guys. I want to tell you this. What's going on in our Capitol building right now is they're fighting, they're coming against the church. Understand that? President Trump spoke out once before. He says, the only reason they're coming after me because I'm standing in the way of you. Understand that, okay? And they are not done until they absorb you completely, until they wipe you out. Now, I think we can see that right now, can we not? We can see what's taking place right now. And I'm telling you what, the good news is I'm starting to see the enemy turning on itself. They're starting to chew up one another, okay? See, this nation was founded upon the principle of God. Amen? He wrote our laws for us, okay? This was a godly nation, one nation under God. But you know what happened? The church fell asleep. Well, man, we did. We really enjoyed that chicken on Sunday, white picket fence, you know what I'm saying? And football games in the afternoon. And, oh, we don't really care what's going on down the street, but, you know, it's not bothering me, you know? Have you been there before? Have you heard that song sang before? Amen. But see, it's time to start singing a different song. We say, Lord, deliver my son or my daughter, whatever it might be, from drugs. Drugs are very popular right now. God just calls that drug dealer to move on down the street. And we would say that, and you meant well. But the trouble is, on down the street, is somebody else's son and daughter. See, we were even in that prayer, we were being selfish in a way. We have to get to the point, God, I declare my children delivered. But the onslaught of the evil one, that drug dealer, Father God, that he would be neutralized. They'd be taken out, Father God. But doing so, may he take his desire to peddle evil and be tapped into the turnaround, God, and you use him for good. Take his mouth over. They'd be born again and come and preach the gospel. But we got to get to the point that you're just as important as my son is, okay? That I care more about you or just as much as my son. And I will intercede and pray for you, that I'll stand in the gap. And that's where we have to get. We got to be getting burdened, guys. When we see that, I get sick and tired of listening to the radio in the morning and these youngsters are dying because of overdosing of these drugs, okay? Ew, do we or do we not have the power to overcome these things? Do you have a spoken word? Can we pray? Can we fast? And the question would be, are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we up in the middle of the night weeping and crying, oh God, not another one, not another one. Interceding and praying, we had to get to the point that their lives mean more than our own life, but our own comfort. And folks, I know everyone here, you have a love for people, you have a love. But sometimes we don't know how to do. We don't know how to handle things. How do we make a difference? Yeah, we have a prayer that we share here a lot. We talk about praying for people. And one thing we pray about is that we just bind wherever it is. If it's a spirit of addiction for their body today. And God, while that spirit is bound, that we have the authority of, that you would send somebody across their path. I believe the Bible calls it workers. They will minister to them. Because God, they won't listen to me. And God, bring across my path people I can share the gospel that will listen to me. Because out there there's another grandparent or mom or dad and uncle that's crying out, God, help. Help. Watch over them. And you might be the one to speak to them. So blessed the other day. He'll be coming here in a week or two. A guy came in to see us. 2 years ago, we were taking care of him. He's on meth, living across from Skip's Refuge on the river. Got in a rehab, about 90 days. Got out, fell back again. Got out, fell back again. We came in this week, man, I tell you what, a totally different person. Been up in Cleveland area in the rehab center. His body, man, is strengthened again. He's got intelligence. I mean, he's just awesome. He want to come in. He saw that cross outside. He want to come from him. You guys are still here. I want to thank you. Then he said, Jimmy, where are you at, Jimmy? Oh, my land. But he has a new life. That was somebody's son. That the ministry y'all watch over here pulled out of the quagmire. And there he is, alive today. He wants to come someday and give his testimony. And thank y'all for that. And so that's what it's about. Making difference in people, one life at a time. And what God has done for one, He'll do for another, another. We just cannot give up. You might not be the one that's going to reach out there and grab that person on your heart right now. But I'm telling you, I really believe that the Bible says, as you sow reap. So as you continue to pray and you intercede to do what God calls you to do for others, He'll do the same in your life. Hey, it ain't over with yet. Now, how many people wrote Him off? He's not even over with. And what we have to watch out, guys, and I know it's easy, because you can get burned out, can't you, Gail, trying to help people. Brother, can't you do that once in a while? But remember this, if you have a drug addict, and boy say, hey, listen, I'm done with it, and they lay it down, and they walk away, and they say, hey, one day clean, yes, that's 24 hours. 2 day clean, that's 48, and they go on. You know, they finally get to a week. Yes, oh wow, man, awesome, brother. Hey, congratulations, man. I knew you could do it. Yes, yes. Boom. Boom. Then they fall. The 8th day, man, they use drug again. There's old Satan, hey, come on back, man. Come on. Satan say, oh, come on back. Back behind all your buddies over here. You know, you rest better over here. But then over here is a church. I knew he couldn't do it. I knew he was faking it. He was trying to tell us he's been set free from it. Is that the church? I mean, but is that the church? Listen up. That is the church. I'm not saying you got, that is the church in the whole. Condemning them. The devil's right there. Come on back. Can borrow you a second? Come on back, buddy. Have a great time, man. Woo! Hey, want some of this stuff? This stuff, okay? Have a seat. Church, we've got to be there. And when a person falls, hey, come on, man. Come on back here. And normally the person will say, well, I can't do this. I can't do it. I know you can't, but the Lord can. I mean, us together, I'm telling you what, I'm not giving up on you. You made it 7 days, so we're going to do it again. We'll make it 8 days, understand that? And then 9 days. We're going to get through this thing together, you know. It's not an easy thing, man. I love you. I'm proud of you, you know. And I tell you, in the eyes of God, you are worth something, and I'm going to stand beside you, man. And that might mean 2 o'clock in the morning, he's going to call me, hey, listen, Sergeant, talk to me. I want to do it. We had a lady here come. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm squeezing too hard, man. You can tell he works at the meat plate, man. Wow. You have a seat, sir. One Sunday at the service, we were having our dinner, and had a lady come in and said, man, I just had to get you. I had to get you. I said, well, she said, I want to use, Stork, I want to use. I want you to pray for me. I don't want to use. I've been 7 days clean. And wow, to be able to pray for them, yes, strength for another day, strength for another, one day at a time. But we have to get to the point that we don't give up. Anybody ever smoke and quit smoking? Quit smoking ain't hard at all, is it? It's not starting again, the hard part. You know, we said that before. The person goes, hey, I went 2 days out smoking. Fantastic. Hey, 3 days. Ah, I smoked one. That's okay. Look at all the ones you haven't smoked, you know, because sometimes people want to eat. Everybody go on a diet. You go 3 more days and you fall. Boom, boom, boom. It's encouragement. Come on. See, we got to quit turning our backs on people. Yeah. You're going to be used. You're going to be lied to. But isn't the devil the father of lies? And if someone's still hanging out with the devil, they're going to lie. But I truly believe inside of every person, there's a desire to be set free. Every person. And what the devil wants us to do is catch somebody in their lies and just cut them off. I'm not saying don't hold people responsible. I understand. Hey, Corey, you lied to me, man. You told me you'd bring me a sandwich today at church. Why didn't you? Oh, you ate on the way in, huh? Okay, well, next time. Holding responsible, but not condemning. Okay, let's do it again. I think somewhere in the scriptures, I think Peter and talked to the master, and they said, well, 7 times 70? That's just one day. That's a busy day. We have to, we got to get, if I call it tough skin, maybe? I'm not sure what to call it. But not be so easily offended. And know that we are truly in a battle. And when we share God's love, however it be by word of mouth or just by action, and people say, and they reject it, you ever give somebody a coat? Hey, man, I got this coat. Cleveland Browns coat, man. Okay. And so you're so excited about it. Okay, Steelers coat, in case you're some Steelers fan. I go over here and I take, oh man, I want Joe to have my coat. And I take my coat. Oh, here, Joe, I want you to have this, man. Joe, you love that thing? Wow, awesome. Awesome. Well, then next week, here comes Joe. Comes in the back doors, 10 degrees outside, he's shivering. Roar. Joe, where's that coat at? I gave you. I gave it away. Oh, my land sakes. Should have given it back to me. Why would you give it away? Get upset because I gave him a gift and gave it away. Well, how would I know that maybe the whole purpose of God was me to give that coat to Joe to get to the next person? Did I do what the master asked me to do? Was I led by the Holy Spirit to do that? Yes. If I did that, then let God deal with Joe. And go and just know it's for His glory. That's what He wants us to do, just trust in Him. But we find ourselves again. I'm in Deuteronomy now. Hang on a second, guys. I lost Joshua. Oh. You lost it too? Okay. What's that? I'm not alone, I know. Hang on a second. Yeah. I know, my Bible's falling apart here. I got it right here. There we go. I knew I still had them there. I got so many pieces and parts glued together here. The Lord said to Joshua, this is verse 2. We didn't get very far yet in chapter 6, did we? The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with his king and the violent warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of the war, circling the city once. See, the important part there, God says, I've already given them to you. Trust God. You shall do this for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead. Now, he is talking to Joshua. You all remember Joshua? I mean, he had some great battles he won, right? I believe that somebody named Moses was interceding for him through a couple of battles, okay? I mean, this is a man with his hands. Of course, we know the power of God. With destroying the enemy, man, I mean, man-o-man-o, you're a macho man type deal. Now, he has an instruction from the Lord. He's going to do something different this time. You're going to march around the city for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, you're going to blow the trumpet. And the walls are coming down. Now, how many men would want to do that? Would we want to have our muscles out front? You know, we ain't much left there anymore. Hey, look at that, baby. Mm-mm. If they would have done it their way, they've been destroyed. They did it God's way. We have to remember that. Do it God. We are involved in a spiritual battle. And we are fighting this thing in a spiritual way through the Word of God. But we can't give up. Cannot give up. It might not seem like make any difference. I mean, can you imagine a second day and you're following Joshua's command? Okay, God said you're going to do this. And you walk around the walls of Jericho. And you know how much people are laughing at him. Hey! Making fun of him. Anybody ever make fun of you for following what the Lord says to do? What? It's Sunday? John Kimmerly, it's Sunday? The sun's out. You're not going to be on the golf course right now this morning? You're going to wear church? Oh, man, what a waste of your time. Okay? But we just do what he says to do. People are going to taunt you, make fun of you, say it's not going to do you any good. They're going to write off whatever you've been praying for. They're going to do whatever they think to try to intimidate you because the devil wants to stop you. Same way here. I wanted any of them to talk to Joshua and say, listen, dude, are you sure? He wants to walk around this thing? And they're pretty well heavily armed in there. Did they try to change Joshua? I don't know. I know in your life walking with the Master, people have been trying to change you, trying to talk you to maybe come back where you came from at one time. Have they? Have they ever tried to say, come on back here? That church thing, following Christ, doesn't do anything for you? But once we set our eyes on the Lord and follow Him, no matter what takes place, we don't want to change your mind. Because look what the difference is made here. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark and covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark to the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord. And it was so, and they marched around Jericho, just as God had instructed them. Now Joshua rose up, verse 12, early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city, and they continued on until the walls came tumbling down. If you continue to read that, and I just quite lengthily, once the walls came down, that wasn't the end of the battle. They went in and destroyed everything within the city, except for that one harlot that helped them. They took out the parents, took out the children, took out the beast, everything that was involved in taking God's territory away from His people, because this was the promised land. Was destroyed. I know you might think that's very harsh. Why would God do that? Because God's number one thing is protect His children. Follow me? Protect His children. And if something in that anti-God scenario there would survive, it would be a root that would start living again. And as time would go on, it would spread its lies to others and others, and it would contaminate God's people to where they would turn their backs on the Lord. And God was watching out on His people. And folks, that's where we're at today. We cannot stop. We cannot stop praying. We cannot stop fasting. We cannot stop interceding for our country. Now, here in Ohio, here a couple of days ago, a lot of us got refreshment because the mask mandate was eliminated. Ah, I know. Everybody said I look better with my mask on, Corey. You can breathe again. Yes, yes. Other nations right now, or countries or states, they have to wear one. We don't care about them. I can breathe again. They're on their own. We've been blessed here. We never shut down. Well, we paused for 3 weeks when we first started. But we knew what God called us to do to share the gospel, so we stayed open. And some churches shut down. I'm not talking and shutting down. Don't get me wrong here. But we see now, a year and a half later, the whole thing was coming after the church. They want the power. It's an antichrist spirit over the United States and over the country right now. And they're trying to find a way to shut you down because Satan hates your guts. He wants to destroy you and those who are coming behind you. Now, we see where he got a little piece of it and the power and how quickly he could manipulate the church. But the church is starting to wake back up again. They're starting to see what's taking place. Well, I have one more day on this planet, or I have 10 more years here. We shall preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is salvation. That's how people can come out of darkness. How people can have salvation by hearing the truth. California, they won a lawsuit out there we were sharing last week. They sued the governor because they shut down their church and they realized, hey, you got a constitutional right to stay open. And Newsom has to pay the $1.35 million attorney bill. Canada right now. I'm telling you what, they are coming in. The Muslims, Islamic, is coming against the church. Some of them are in power. Some of them are, it's like the United States. People who hate Christians, who do not stand for the things of God, we placed in power in our country to govern us. Now, how stupid is that? It's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house. And we sit back and we don't say nothing. Why? Oh, my. That's not politically correct. Well, political correctness will take you to your grave early, and it's going to wipe out your children and your grandchildren, because they won't know the truth, because the truth will be buried. Because if you believe something, you believe it's the truth, you're going to stand up and proclaim it, and you're going to live it, and you're going to support it. Amen? So we have to speak at the truth. And this country had been so fed up with political correctness. The truth. God isn't done with us yet, as long as we're not done with God. There's not compromising in our beliefs. We serve the risen Savior. Amen? Amen. There is no compromising needed. It's God's way or get out. Amen. That's it. Either support our Constitution, support Jehovah, or get out of office. And we can't stop until we run all them Antichrist people out of the government on their knees praying and fasting. I'm not saying grab two before shotguns and rifles. That was then. We were fighting a spiritual warfare, but we have to be engaged in that. Coming up, we got elections coming up. Seek out those who believe in the Master, those who are intelligent, who God has raising up to be in public office to oversee. They work for us. Look what they're doing to our school system. They're trying to, I mean, can you imagine? If you're a 16-year-old boy and you think you relate to being a girl and go into the bathroom. I'm telling you about back in my high school years, every one of my buddies all would feel like we were ladies. We'd be flooding that girl's bathroom. Is that what we want for our children? We have to stand up and speak out against it. The transgender stuff going on is critical race theory. It's all a bunch of lies from the devil trying to shut down. Don't be afraid. Speak the truth. You've got the Lord, His Word, and a legion of angels standing behind you. The Master works through us. Out of love. But we have got so much hatred in our government today against the Lord. And they're discovering more and more that your election that you held in November was stolen. It appears that every state in the Union voted for the man God was using, Trump. But the devil came in and took it. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to demand our Supreme Court to stand up to what the Constitution says and uphold it? Are we going to demand or we're going to sit back. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying rioting, please, don't get me wrong. If somebody reached into your bank account today and took out $3 million. Alright, we're older. We're older folks, $2.5 million. If they reached into your bank account, like myself, I got, what do you call it? Identity stuff stole from me last month. Would you sit back and say, well, next time I open a bank account up, I'm going to make sure it's run the right way? Or would you stand up and demand, hey, listen, I want my money back. Is that your money? Well, I got one person says yes. The other one ain't quite sure. Okay. Yes, that's mine. Bring it back. You wouldn't sit there and say, well, in 3.5 years, I'll open another bank account. Okay. I want what's mine now. I don't care how you're going to correct it, but it needs to be corrected. So listen, the devil stole what God was doing. Okay. Why? I think two things. I think one of the greatest things that he did was when we were seeking the Lord and we were repenting from our sins, say, God, heal our land, he had to show us where the sickness was or the heal us. Now, he showed us where it's at. And what are we going to do about it? We need to stand up. We need to support those biblical principles who wants to lead our country. And those who are in power today who have stolen it have to be removed. And we have the laws already inside. We already have the laws to do that. And that's to the Supreme Court. Our Constitution says that, man, if we show one vote that's foreignly influenced, the whole election is nulled. We're not asking for anything other than the truth to take place. And I know you think, well, preacher, I didn't come here to hear a sermon about Trump. Well, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about a hand of God moving upon this nation. And he's using instruments like he's using you. Wherever you're at right now, he's using you to influence a family somewhere, your neighbors or somebody. Well, he was using Trump the same way, and the devil come along and steal it. That's all I want. I just want a nation. Honors God. Trump is not our Savior. Jesus is. And we have to look beyond ourselves. Look at the generations coming behind us. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll just have these people over here instead of... We'll just take them off of the senior leadership because, you know, they're kind of bad. But listen, they've got a pension in 2 years, so let's just mark them down here. Instead of being in charge of a state, we'll put them in charge of a township. No, I'm just theorizing this. No. Out. You're not getting down in township. Well, I'll just be in charge of the block party, or what do you call them? Well, not the party part. Were you watching over people's houses? Block watch, yes. Okay, we'll just put them in charge. No. You're not doing that. Out. We cannot compromise, and don't compromise in our own lives. What we see take place in our nation, I'm just about done. What we see taking place in our nation today, how did it ever happen that way? Because compromise. Being relaxed. But folks, take the nation, put it right side of here. Can you see what happened if we just compromise one time? Give that devil a foothold in our, just a minor thing. But if he can get inside of here, he'll start growing. And you know when he starts growing, he starts normally kind of slow. He starts like, oh. And maybe it might take a couple of years for it really start to influence you. Because he wants to be quiet about it. Because he wants to take over the whole house. The whole temple of God. That's why when we read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, when you listen to Him and you start to say or do something, He says, ah. That's a warning. Say, don't. Now, you're free to do anything you want. I'm not a preacher to tell you what you can do and can't do. I'm just here to tell you what happens if you do it. And when that Holy Spirit says, nah, don't. And you do it anyway, you're allowing that devil to get inside here. And he gets in there, or up here, I guess, he gets in your mind. He'll start growing, and you start compromising. And a little bit more until, wow, next thing you know, you look back at your life, you think, wow, how did I get here? By compromising. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you find yourself, man, have compromised so much. Hey, God's still with you. Man, you just go to Him and say, Lord, listen, I turn it all back to you. I've sinned. Come in. Guide me. And clean your house out. Spoken word of God. Things you do in your house, man, you can bring in the movies that you might be watching, the jokes you're telling, the activities you're doing. If what you're doing in your house doesn't bring the local church to your place, hey, we'll have a picnic with you. It's bring your neighbors in, say, hey, we'll party with you. Hey, you're not bringing the right thing into your house. And when you do that, it brings in, again, a spirit in your house that can really influence. Clean your house out. They call it house blessing, house dedication. Folks, this is true stuff. I share with me and my wife, no matter where we go, if we go to a hotel, we're going to spend the night, first thing we do, we walk in there and say, hey, whatever unclean spirit's been, welcome here, out. We dedicate this place to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have to go. They have to go. Amen. But folks, again, God's not done with us. God is not done with us. Stand on His Word. Continue to intercede for yourself and for your children's children. It's not over with yet. Those who people already wrote off think they'll never amount to nothing. I'm telling you what, in the hand of the living God, they can be the biggest voice that they can have. And don't ever be afraid to share Jesus wherever you're at. Because even though people might reject at that point, you've sowed that seed. That's what He called you to do, sow that seed. Amen? Amen.